In the studio at BrainShare with Randy and myself, we have Laura Chapo and Brenda Check. Ladies, welcome.
Thank you.
You having a good BrainShare?
Yes. We're exhausted, though.
It's only Wednesday.
Oh,
Wednesday. How are you
going to
make it through the week?
We thought it was Wednesday when it was yesterday. We don't know how we're going to make it through the week. I don't know. My voice is already starting to crack, so we'll see.
What have you been doing?
You mean during the day?
Yeah, well, the night escapades we don't need to record.
We have done sessions on ICMP.
As a presenter?
Yeah. As a presenter.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, I don't think I've actually ever attended a BrainShare session before.
Really?
And yeah, I don't think I ever have. So let's see, what else have we been doing? We did network forensics, which that one was fun because we talked about that before when we did the podcast when we were at Novell.
And that was a hoot because the stuff you've been doing there is just outrageous.
Well,
utterly cool.
Well, because we had compromised systems. We had the communications on compromised systems. But then also, when at the beginning of it, I talk about host forensics, and I show all the evidence from Randy Stone, who was with the Wichita Police Department, and he's the guy that actually caught BTK, the bind, torture, kill, serial killer. And so that's really fun. And it's weird because, you know, people are like, gosh, you know, I didn't think this morning I was going to start out by learning about, you know, how to strangle a person better and blood spatter and, you know, blood and gore. But it's fun. I think every BrainShare, there should be some blood and guts.
So what are you going to do? People are going to come to that session thinking, this is how I find out how to get away with it. Are you giving away the secrets?
Oh, absolutely.
Throwing the baby out with the bathwater?
Sure, absolutely. Out they go. No, you know, if they're clever, they can figure out how to get around stuff, you know. So much of it is if you understand the protocols, you learn so much about how to get around things.
The last time we talked, you talked about having a honeypot set up on the BrainShare network.
I do. I have. Every time I've had my machine set up, it's been running in honeypot mode. And I actually showed today what it looked like and who was hitting the honeypot.
Awesome.
And then I also hit the honeypot myself to see if they could figure out that nothing should ever answer the way my machine did. And it's set up right now on the BrainShare network, and it's hotdogmoneybank.com. is the site that you go to. And if you hit it, you would know. There's no way that there's a machine that has all this stuff.
Transfer all Laura's millions to your account.
That's right.
In the
that's
Cayman
right.
Islands.
That's right. And it's simple. One click, no password identification needed, nothing at all. Just give me your credit card number and we're done. Yeah. So, and then tomorrow night's going to be fun because we're doing the second year. This is only our second year we've done this Meet the Experts thing, which is where they bring in a video camera and a lot of wine, I remember.
Yeah.
And last year, I had my laptop set up, and I was projecting from that, and people kept bringing over wine glasses. And behind my laptop, there were, I don't know, like 5 glasses of wine hidden behind there. So if you see the video from last year, you know, it's like, every once in a while, you see me going back, grab something from behind. And so this year's fun.
What are they trying to say to you there?
Yeah, yeah.
Looking for a date or something? No.
It's like, loosen up,
Laura. Loosen up. Yeah, that's it. Because I think a lot of times people know I get pretty nervous speaking
how
in public.
How does the protocol, how do protocols change with the addition of wine?
You know what? They're a lot slower, a lot slower protocols. And there's none of that whole making sure that the packets get there because you really just don't care.
And the wire shots.
Whatever. Well,
protocols.
I know I'm talking. Colors kind of merge into each other.
Yeah. I'm talking. I don't know if anybody's listening. Whatever.
Who cares?
So. But it's been a fun show.
You must get a big crowd at Meet the Experts. I got to believe that you'd pack them all in and all the rest of us schmucks would be kind of stuck in a corner.
You're calling a schmuck.
You know, the funny thing is I've actually never been invited to speak at a Meet the Experts before.
Mm-hmm.
So even when I was a Novell employee, they never invited me to come and speak at Meet the Experts. I'm not really sure why, but it's probably because of the timing of that, because the bar would open at 5:30 and then Meet the Experts was at 6. So there was that whole half an hour of concern where I would be and things. And we had a fun time. Do you remember that in, where was that?
Was it
Nice,
or
France.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great. We walked in, we had cocktails, and we just grabbed...
Was this BrainShare, Nice?
Right.
This was BrainShare.
Yeah,
oh,
had,
yeah, I did
back.
That once.
Oh, it was so much fun. And we just walked in, we just grabbed a whiteboard. And so we took the board over, and we did Pictionary. We did technical Pictionary on the board. And I would be drawing things, and it's like I'm drawing something, and these people are all around now, and Brenda's giving things away. She's like, if you've got it right, you'll get something. So I would draw these boxes and all, and somebody, you know, oh, I think it's this, I think it's this. No, 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 it's an Ethernet frame. Oh, I think it's this, I think it's a cow, you know? People, they would be so into it. It's token ring. Oh, I know what it is. This is a source bridge for token ring. This is source routing. It's like, it's a cow. Look at the spots, you know? Token ring doesn't have that. So we had such a good time. So tomorrow's going to be really fun.
So you got the rest of BrainShare. Have you still got any sessions to present?
I do. I have, I think, 3 more sessions or 4 more. Tomorrow is the network forensics, which is so much fun. So that's, we're doing another network forensics. I have another TCP/IP troubleshooting, which is where I'm going to talk about all these changes of the TCP stack and what's going on with TCP to actually improve performance. We have another ICMP. Everything else is Meet the Expert.
That's a fake session.
That's a fake session.
Listen to Brenda. She
they
knows.
Make me work so hard. Yeah, Brenda, what else is going on?
I don't know.
You don't care?
No.
I don't know. I know that the party is tonight.
That's all I care about.
Band.
The concert.
So somebody coming along to that network forensics session, I'm guessing a lot of people who are doing that are thinking, I'm the security guy at Corporation A. I'm going to learn enough to nail down a whole bunch of people in my office that are taking advantage. How realistic is that? You're obviously an expert. The guy coming in off the street, what can he take from it?
Wow. You know what? The nice thing about that slide set and that presentation is that there is a very strong list of what to watch for in the reconnaissance process as well as the attack process. You know, these are the things that tell me something is wrong. These people hopefully are already network analysts. They already know what the traffic looks like, right? So they're familiar with what a TCP handshake. You're laughing.
I'm just thinking, yeah, it's a SYN frame. It's a FIN frame. Awesome. There's an ACK there.
That's good.
ACK.
You know what? It used to be so much more fun when we had IPX, SPX, because then we had SAP. And I remember standing in a room doing a recording, and you could stand up there and you could go, SAP, and people would get it. They were like, oh, yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I see that on my network.
Now that's so sad.
Were you there when I was talking about my dad? Oh, my gosh. I showed a trace from my father's computer that he brought to my house like 2 weeks ago.
Your and father this... brought the trace or the computer?
No, he brought
please.
The computer.
He
oh,
can't
please.
Even
oh, my
turn
gosh.
On the
I don't even want him to know what Wireshark's all about. you want to know how bad my father is?
Oh,
I told him, I said, when you bring the computer over, Dad, you bring the laptop over, don't forget to bring the power cord. And he's like, okay. Now, which one would be the power cord? It's like, I don't know, Dad. Follow it to the wall. Have you ever plugged in a lamp? You know, it's like, it's pathetic. So I showed the trace today, and the funny thing was, I don't know why, I just all of a sudden thought, you know what, this is such a great trace. Here's a system. I've gone through with all the virus detection tools. It's so infected with garbage in here. I mean, and everything, and sure enough, you know, you're going down, and then you can see, okay, I can see how it gets reinfected again, and then it's like in big letters, oh, AOL user. It's like, yep, that's my dad. That's as much as we give him AOL.
You had mentioned earlier in the interview about being nervous in presenting. What's up with that?
I used to have a terrible fear of speaking. It's really weird. I had a terrible fear of speaking, I had a terrible fear of flying, and I had a fear of math, of doing any math.
So basically your entire life.
I remember flying to a Novell office to teach an algorithms class. And I thought, what is wrong with this picture? You know? Oh, gosh.
Well, come on. Obviously, you've gotten over it.
Yeah, you know what? I actually have, yeah. There are still times, sometimes when I look in the room, and usually it's like right after lunch, and people have food hanging out of their mouth and stuff. And that's usually when I think, oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know
that's when you realize, you know, any dope can stand up here and do this if these people are having food hanging out of their mouths.
They don't know. They're asleep. They don't know what's going on. I talked about BitTorrent yesterday, and I said it was herpes on the internet. And it was just like, I don't know where it came from, and all of a sudden the whole room was like, who just said that? But the other funny thing was we were talking about how, you know, the traffic affects the network and how we really have to watch the traffic levels and this video stuff. You know, we've got all these people on our networks now that are downloading videos, whether it's training videos or entertainment videos or whatever. And I was mentioning, I said, you know, they're downloading YouTube and they're downloading RedTube. And these people are like, RedTube? And it's like, RedTube, you know, it's a big porno thing. Well, I've got Brenda in the back of the room. She's like looking all around at everybody. She's watching it.
I was trying to find that's somebody like, pulling it up. I'm like,
That's why today I started mentioning some websites and I had Wireshark going and I was listening only to DNS queries. I just wanted to know, you know, how many hits, if I just mentioned all these really nasty sites, see how many of these skanky people go out there. You want to know what the funniest thing is? Today I was showing a network, I was showing a trace from a network that was in bad shape and had been hacked and they had left it open and it was really horrible. And I actually have to say to people in the room, if this is your trace file, please don't stand up and say, ooh, that's me. I'm so proud. Because people do that. If you say, okay, this is really bad. This network's wide open and this is the hack. People will, oh, I think that's me.
I think that's my IP address.
I think that
there's my username and password.
There's my username. There's my password. There's my bank account number.
Do you have to go through those files, changing IP addresses just so that to protect the innocent?
Absolutely.
The guilty.
Oh, wow.
And the guilty, yeah, exactly. We were at a law enforcement conference, and at the beginning of this law enforcement conference, they said to everyone, look, don't do anything on the wireless network. This is a show conference network. This is open completely. Don't put any passwords, any usernames. If your data isn't encrypted, don't use the wireless network. Well, day three came up, and I got to do a lunch presentation with all the passwords that I had collected. Now, these are cops. Oh. Cops who think they're pretty hot stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, the things they think that are true and what is really true are so different because these passwords came up there. My favorite one was man.
Yeah.
I was like, you gotta be kidding me. You know what? Stand up. Where are you? But it was so funny. It was so funny. And then we had an IM session, the skanky IM session going on. It's very steamy IM session. It was like, I got to put it up on the board in front of everybody. And all you do is just kind of scan around the room and you look for who's like going bright red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who all of a sudden gets up and leaves.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like the disclaimer on the front saying parental guidance advised. What's the one they use on the television?
Parental discretion.
Parental discretion is advised.
obviously, you just don't even care about that. Like, can we go fast forwarding through that?
But that for me is just like
I'm not going to show it to my parents.
This is going
to
be a good show. It's like the computer forensics session is the same thing. It's like if you want to find out something interesting, I mean, creepy interesting, go to that one.
There you go. That's right. That's right. Yep. Great. Creepy sessions. Oh, this is creepy level 4.
Well, you know, if people could picture this, you know, of course this is audio only. So here we are in a black coat of
room.
Oh, we're
not going to. Go on, Randy. I love
black.
That.
Yep.
You know,
I think we've got to go into the heat as well.
Degrees.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah, it's about 80.
It's 180 degrees, and that's why the guys took their shirts off a while ago.
Well, let's move on to something altogether more wholesome. The government's really into IP6, setting the deadlines for getting this done. What's your thought on it?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I've been asking people in the sessions about IPv6. Where are they? And I'll first of all ask, okay, how many of you are implementing IPv6 right now?
No hands go up.
I think maybe 2 hands out of 300, you know, will go up.
Yeah. That's 2 DOD guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you got it. And then I ask people, how many of you really feel comfortable with your knowledge of IPv6? And nothing.
My hand didn't go up.
Then. How many of you think you need to know IPv6? And their hands do go up. So it's like they know they've got to get the information. They don't get it right now. It's like they're dragging their feet on learning about it because they're dealing with the stuff that they have to deal with today.
Isn't this one of those things, though, that, you know, we've been hearing about IPv6 for
forever,
at least, well, going on 10 years now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you wait and you wait and you wait because the government, nobody's forcing anybody to move over to it. And so it's one of those things where it's like, well, okay, I'm going to wait until I absolutely need to know about it before I go investing time in it.
Yep, and that's kind of what they're doing. Because I remember doing an IPv6 presentation, I think around the year 2000. I think I did a very short presentation, and the room was like, whatever, can we leave for lunch now?
I was at that one, I think.
Oh, yeah, I was like, I don't really care.
No, it sounded great. You know, 128-bit address space. Great, I can finally get a static IP address.
Oh, my gosh.
Now I've got one with IPv4, and I don't care, and I'm thinking I probably should.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. A lot of people just don't understand it, and they get very confused. And if you go see a presenter talk about IPv6, a lot of times they'll throw up the address information first. Okay, 5 minutes later, these people are throwing up on the floor. I mean, they just are like, bleh, I don't want to deal with this. You got to be kidding me. I thought this was all automated. You know, and that kind of turns them off right
You're
there.
You're talking about all the structure of the address space. Like all of IPv4s in there somewhere.
And it's like, why do I have to know all that? I thought it was automated. Don't I just turn it on and it works? It's like, well. It's...
What's your problem? I get a million IP addresses on this point I'm standing on.
That's
what
right.
Do I care?
That's right. Every ant on the earth can have an IP address. That's right.
Yep. So what do you need trillions of IP addresses for in the typical organization?
Well, you know, everything changed so much back in the year 1998 when John Pestel passed away. And John Pestel was the one, of course, that wrote TCP/IP stack, he wrote IP, ICMP, all these things. And when he passed away, we were still at IPNG at that time. And in fact, I remember sitting in the San Jose office of Novell where they had the IPX Plus group meeting. We were building IPX Plus, which was the next generation of IPX. And here we had Radia Perlman in there. We had these very wonderful luminaries from all over the industry coming to meet with us. And then they had the IPNG meeting that happened like the next Wednesday or something. The same people, exactly the same agenda. And these people are realizing, you know, do you realize that we're actually building the same thing? It's only one protocol. We call it IPX Plus over here. We call it IPNG over here. But it was really interesting. And when he passed away, that was a huge problem. You know, who's going to take up the lead on building this thing out?
Someone
and I think I think it stumbled quite a bit at that point.
Yeah.
You know, if he'd still been around, I really do believe it would have.
You got to wonder where something like DNS would have gone. If John had still been around.
Yeah. Oh gosh, a brilliant man. Brilliant man. And of course, we have IANA. A lot of people know of IANA just from the protocol numbers and assignment services. But there's also the John Pestel Research Institute, which is tied with IANA down in Marina Del Rey, California. And people should know who John Pestel was.
Yeah.
Which spans still be a problem.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking SMTP as well.
He was such a logical thinker, you know, and he could take vendors that came to him with their ideas and turn around and say, yeah, that's really good, but you'll save yourself about 8 months if you'll do it this way. It's like, oh, why didn't I think of that? Because you're not as smart as he is.
Laura Chappell, as always, it's an absolute pleasure to have you in the studio. Brenda Check, thanks for joining us.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
It's been a lot of fun.
Brenda, I know, it's the life of the party.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you, guys. This is always a lot of fun.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks.